Here's Bill Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hi, everybody. Come to Ted's of Beverly Hills for Thanksgiving dinner. We've got a delicious pork roast and fry roast and, of course, that ever-popular turkey. Ted's of Beverly Hills, Thanksgiving this year.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now, you, the business traveler or just all or airport security has gotten out of control, Ted.
Well, at airport security, Phil, I was traveling this weekend and saw the airport security is simply not working. You've got lines of people. The business traveler, though, is the person. I'm talking about myself, but I'm really not just talking about a business traveler, Phil. I'm talking about those of us who've got the higher income business traveler. This has got to end. It's got to end. I don't get to an airport any sooner than 30 minutes before a flight. I am not about to change my schedule for that. I do employ a lot of people.
Well, the immediate question is this. We just, you know what happened on 9/11.
Of course I do.
All right. Everybody's got to jump in with 2 feet and pitch in a little bit.
No, I get the pitch in. But what I don't get is when I've got a schedule, a daily regimen of business calls, and some of the other things that I'm involved in are part of keeping me stress-free for business. I do take a yoga class. I do take a Pilates class. I do have a facial on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I do take business calls and face-to-face meetings up until anywhere between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm flying 3 times a week, and I just don't get to any airport. And I sure don't jump to for any airline. This is the thing that really offends me, jumping to for an airline. You better be there an hour ahead of time. You better be there 90 minutes ahead of time. You got to be there. They want you there. Just who are these people? Now, what I want...
Yeah, but hold on, Ted. You're asking to have a business express security line, not just for business travelers, but for upper-income business travelers.
What I'm asking for is simply this, an express line for the upper-income business travelers such as myself. We get in, we get out. We don't have to report to the airport any sooner than 30 minutes before a flight. We don't have to get to the airport any earlier than 45 minutes for international flights.
And what exactly do you have to show the screener at an express security check-in? So you guys who are the upper-end business guys...
You know, I can hear the sarcasm a little bit in your voice, Phil.
No, I know that you're a businessman. I know you own the restaurants.
Well, I've got the two restaurants. I've got hundreds of people employed by our independent business film corporation. We opened up the new Ted's of Beverly Hills in the Georgetown area of Washington, D.C., and I feel a little ridiculous standing there with my arms spread, my legs spread, the wand going up and down, my shoes off. I was on my way to San Francisco last week. You know Vince Fleming at Rondo's on Sunset?
The guy who owns a sushi bar.
Right. I saw Vince standing there, out of his shoes, arms stretched out. I mean, he looked absolutely ridiculous. And the only thing you can say in a situation like that is, what you do is you pretend you don't know him. I was embarrassed for him. I was embarrassed for Rondo's on Sunset, which is a damn good sushi bar. I was embarrassed for anyone we've ever had cocktails with. Anyone that we've ever had a lunch with. Vince Fleming, standing there taking his shoes off for some $5.95 an hour TSA worker, okay? Now, Phil, listen to me. I'm Ted Bell. I own 20 years I've owned this restaurant in Beverly Hills. I'm not going to take off a pair of soft leather Cole Haan dress shoes so some teenager in a security costume can feel me up. Now, I'm Ted Bell, and there is no reason for this. And there are things that they're not seeing.
All right, what are they not, you know, you're beginning to sound a little entitled here, Ted. You're beginning to...
Phil, I'm not entitled. I'm Ted Bell. I make a very high income. I own two restaurants. I'm Ted Bell.
What are the three things? How?
Well, my boarding card clearly indicates...
In other words, when I'm walking through a security gate, just to give an example, and I'm not you. I don't own a business. I'm just, I work for a business.
I understand.
I go through, I put my bag down, I put my crap in that thing that they tell you to put your crap in, I try to, and God forbid that I should leave my wristwatch on, okay?
Yeah, and then the thing goes off, and then you're over there, and they got a flashlight right up your keister, right?
No, they don't. I mean, there's some things I'm going to remember to do now, because I leave my wristwatch on. The thing goes off. Then I got to go over and take off my shoes. I do all of that, okay?
But that's you. I'm Ted Bell, and the other upper-income travelers shouldn't have to go through that.
So you're different.
I beg your pardon?
You're different.
Yes, I'm different. I don't get to the airport 30 minutes, any sooner than 30 minutes before a flight. Now, my boarding card clearly indicates I'm traveling first class, number one. My name is Ted Bell, which is an Anglo-Saxon name, okay, not Persian, okay, not Arabian. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
I have membership in the Admiral's Club. I'm Ted Bell. I'm obviously well off. So what's the possible reason why they'd want to have to do a security check on me? Not only do I bring economy into this country, people like me are the economy. My idea, Phil, is if you hold an Admiral Club card or any first-class lounge privilege, that you immediately proceed to an express security clearance.
Well, that's not going to go through.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. I got to call into Norm Mineta right now, the transportation secretary. You watch me. You want to see me go to work? Watch me.
You're going to have people go to an express checkout if they have a first-class lounge permit?
Admiral's Club, Ambassador Club, VIP lounge, yeah. Or a bank statement. If you're carrying a balance in excess of $150,000. Let me tell you something, Phil.
All right, so I'm going to show up, if I don't want to go through the regular security, with a bank card, with a...
No, with your Admiral Club...
Admiral's Club card or a bank statement that reflects an average daily balance of what?
$150,000 or over. Let me tell you a little secret, Phil. You know the guy that did the World Trade Center? You heard about that, didn't you?
Of course I did.
All right. This Otta guy, he wasn't sitting in the first-class lounge with a glass of OJ in the New York Times. Okay? Just before he cooked that airplane at the World Trade Center, he wasn't having a mimosa, okay, and a bagel and cream cheese. I'm Ted Bell, 21 years, restaurant owner.
You're Ted Bell. You're 21 years restaurant owner. I'm Phil Henry. I'm 30 years in the broadcast business, 49 years old.
Phil, you don't employ people. There are thousands of people who fly every day. The majority of them have the time to dawdle around a security line at airports for 2 hours. There's a handful of us who simply do not have the time.
All right,
You want to stand and dawdle around? That you can. You could afford to. You and the rest of those people. I can't.
1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell from the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse in Beverly Hills and the new Ted's of Beverly Hills in the Georgetown, Washington. We're talking about security lines at the airport. They're long, and I know you were in one this weekend. I was in one a couple of weeks ago. I was flying with my son, in fact, to Berkeley.
Right. I understand that they strip-searched him, too, put a flashlight up his rear end.
No, they didn't.
Well, what was the joke you were telling me?
When they had Nick go into the security line, me and Jeff and Kyle were standing there laughing at him because the guy put on the rubber gloves. And so we said, hey.
Yeah, big laugh. Big laugh, huh?
What?
I mean, the kids, how old's your son?
16.
Okay, making jokes with a guy slipping on the rubber gloves.
We were making a big joke about it because I'm standing there. We got to wait for him. And the guy slipped on the rubber gloves.
I don't stand in a security line. I'm Ted Bell. The rest of you can, I don't. I go to an express line.
Well, it's not law yet.
But if what we're going to propose, I got to call in to Norm Mineta, the transportation secretary.
And what makes you think he's going to take your call?
What makes you think? $100,000 to the Bush campaign. Okay? When you give that kind of money to a campaign, you get calls returned.
Well, I'm a busy man, too, but this weekend I had to stand in a line. I had to wait.
All right, Phil, are you saying that you employ as many people as I do?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, end of story. I'm making business deals that affect many people. I've got hundreds of people in my employ between our two restaurants. I need these things, the yoga, the Pilates class, the facials.
You couldn't cut back on a yoga class. You couldn't cut back on Pilates to make it to the airport sooner than 30 minutes.
No, I cannot. I employ a lot of people. I'm Ted Bell. I'm stressed. And for you to have to make rubber glove jokes with your son.
You got to understand something, man. He thought it was funny. Nick was there. He got singled out for security. Me and Jeff and Kyle are standing there. When the guy slipped on the rubber gloves, we said, now comes the fun part.
What an embarrassment for that boy.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't at all. The kid's sitting there going, I hope you guys are having a good time. And when we were coming back down to L.A., he slipped the rubber gloves on again, and we were really giving him a hard time.
I think that's embarrassing for a child.
Oh, will you stop? It's two fathers with their sons who are older teenage guys. Guy slipped on the rubber gloves.
And you're making proctology gags, huh? Like he's going to get a finger up his butt? I'm a very busy man. Some of your listeners don't understand that concept. It's called busy.
All right. Hold on for a minute, Ted. 1-800-449-8686. He is a sponsor of one of our program. Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills. What do you think about a special express security line for upper-income business people? That is, they don't have to take their shoes off or anything. They just flash their first-class lounge membership card or a bank statement or something like that. Do you think that those people should be allowed through the security checks faster because they employ a lot of people and because they keep our economy moving? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And stand by. Screwed it up.
Let's try it again. I'm sorry. We're on the air. Forgive me, Ted, but we were on the air and the commercial ran.
I'm sorry?
We were on the air and the commercial's already run. All right, go ahead, Ted. This is our make good on that.
Stand by. Great place to get steaks. Come down to Texas Beverly Hills today. Thanksgiving, we'll have a great
thing. Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
This portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse in Beverly Hills, another new location in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. We're talking with Ted about his idea of a new express lane for high-income express security check-in for high-income business travelers. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Most of us have to go through the security x-ray machine. Most of us...
Well, Phil, before you go any further, you make it sound as if I'm trying to distance myself from individuals who are not self-employed. I appreciate people who work for other people. I've got people who work for me. What I'm saying is the person who works for someone, he takes... I give as an employer, and that's the major difference.
All right, but in any event, we are standing there. We are going through x-ray machines, taking our shoes off. Upper-income business travelers should only have to flash their first-class lounge card or a bank statement that reflects $150,000 daily balance, and they get through.
That is correct.
Because... having money means you're not a terrorist.
Because what man who has a lot of money pays for a first-class seat, owns a business that employs hundreds, if not thousands, what man wants to blow himself out of the sky? That is ignorant. You've got to be crazy. You've got to be crazy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go first call here. Patrick, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Yeah, Ted.
Yes,
what gives you, what gives you the right to say that you're better than anybody else, that you can go through the lines a lot quicker than anybody else?
Well, I employ some 200 people. I have a great number of... I'm Ted Bell, all right?
You're Ted Bell. I'm Patrick High. Okay, it doesn't matter what your name is.
Well, but I own Ted's
Beverly
Hills.
All Americans, we're all judged on the same laws in this country. And we've got to abide by the same rules.
Absolutely, but
if you think that you can go by and have a different set of rules for you because you're Ted Bell and you have a big bank account,
well, no,
totally
I have
arrogant.
Two restaurants. I've got two of the biggest steakhouses in America. First of all, Pat, you like steak?
I love steak.
All right, you come on down to Pat Ted's Beverly Hills.
Patrick, that your ego can't catch.
You come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm going to give you a free steak dinner on me. You're going to love it. And the Ted, which is Captain Morgan's and Coke, And, of course, our baked potato tree around Christmas time. Come on down. You're going to love what we've got for you, Ted's Beverly Hills.
Well, all right, you did a commercial for the guy, but respond to what he's saying.
Respond to what? He's not saying anything. He's just, it's the usual thing that you hear from
people. What am I not saying?
Well,
I'm saying that everybody in this country is judged equally.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I wrong? Everybody is equal in this country.
Oh, really? So, in other words, the President of the United States has to stand in line.
Yeah, if he does, if he's flying commercial, if he's flying first class, he'll stand right
now.
You know as well as I do,
the President of the United States does not stand in line, all right?
Because he's got his own Air Force plane.
Tell me something,
His own jet. If you had your own jet, I bet you could fly out of Fuller 10. He has the bus terminal.
I do have my own jet.
Why do you have to...
We have mechanical failure on it. And for the next couple of years, what we're doing is we're shifting assets in our company. So we are flying first class. But the money that I've got and the employment I've got, most airports have ticket lines.
If you have first class, you can go to the first class line, which is much quicker.
Which is just getting on the plane. Well,
here's the thing, Patrick.
Getting at the security gates.
When I'm standing there in the regular security line, there are people staring at me, which I think is unfair, because they see that I wear a nice suit. They see that I do have a certain amount.
Why are they staring at you?
Well, they're looking
because I'm paranoid.
I wear a very nice suit. Now, what I have asked of the Transportation Department is that when we have a security check-in line for higher-income business travelers, there is plexiglass so that the people who are looking at us are only allowed to look up, acknowledge the fact that we're going through fasters, and then look back down again. Look, the last thing I want to hear
is... That is arrogance, Ted.
Wait a minute.
That's blatant arrogance.
So I'm supposed to listen to some redneck on his first trip to the Outrigger in Honolulu say, hey, man, save me a seat when you get there. Is that it?
Some redneck who...
That's what you got to pay for.
Nope. Not going to
happen. Okay, this is America.
I'm Ted Bell.
This is America, and we've had to put in safety measures...
Why is there plexiglass?
At our airport.
Yeah, why is there plexiglass, Ted?
You don't want those people breathing on you. What you want to do is get through as fast as you can without having
those people pay your tickets at your restaurants.
They're getting a damn good steak for it.
Okay.
I'm Ted Bell.
All right, listen, Patrick. Good questions all the way around. Should there be a higher income? Should there be a security line for higher income business travelers?
One of the things, Phil, just to answer your plexiglass question.
Yeah.
If you go to, and I haven't been since college, have I been to one of these steakhouses where there's actually a salad bar, but have you ever seen the plexiglass that prevents people from sneezing on the salad bar?
Yes.
That's the same principle for the plexiglass in the first class line. I'm going through, I don't need to breathe them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
All right, that's all fine, but again... You know, the question is still needs to be answered. Do you rate your own, you and higher income business travelers, do you rate your own security line where all you have to do is flash a first class lounge membership card or a bank statement which shows a daily average balance of $150,000?
Or, well, Phil, it could be that. It could be anything. The Cole Haan shoes, anything that...
All right, so any guy wearing leather Cole Haan Italian shoes?
Anything that reflects a business profile...
Are you telling me I can go through that security line and say, yeah, here are my, see the nice Italian leather, and they let me through and they don't have to check me?
I'm saying anything that reflects a high business profile, absolutely. You want me standing there having a wand going up and down my butt and my crotch, because I know that's what you want, to humiliate me. Now, we've had enough against capitalists in this country. Let's start to honor American business.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell is with us. I don't know what to think. I certainly understand that nobody wants to stand in those long security lines at the airports. They are getting a little... actually, they're amusing, if you want my honest opinion, to sit there and have a wand up your rear end. But to have a separate line for the high-income business traveler who only has to show that he has membership in a first-class lounge, a bank statement, or Italian shoes... 1-800-449-8686.
Look, who has got to get to the meeting faster? A pillar in the business community, Ted Bell, or a woman heading for a Mary Kay convention?
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
So I want to understand this. They kept the door open for you?
I'm not supposed to say anything about it, but I know Bob Nugent over at the airline, and I usually take a steam bath on Tuesdays, and then I'm a member of the Beverly Hills Tennis Club. So we have two mid-level matches. And so I'm not going to get to an airplane any sooner than 30 minutes. They may want me to get to the airplane sooner than 30 minutes. They may remind me to get to the airplane sooner than 30 minutes. They may say, we'd like you at the airport. It's never going to happen. I'm Ted Bell. So Bill Nugent.
Who is Bill Nugent?
I'm sorry?
Who's Bill Nugent?
Bill's with the airline. They left the door open for me.
The door is supposed to close 10 minutes before takeoff.
Well, I talked to Bill, and he said it was fine.
And they left it open.
Yeah. You're going to make a federal case out of that, too, along with everything else? If these security guards were worth their weight in salt, they'd simply know by the smell who's allowed through the express security. Let me tell you something. When you make the kind of money that I make, and you have the steam baths, and you have the facials and the massages that I've had, leg rubs, every kind of rolfing, the natural scent is pure because the poisons are extracted. People who are lower income don't have the usual scent-reducing massages. I go through the security line. I smell sweet. There is a fastidiousness to my scent. And the average lower-income traveler is going to smell like a lower-income traveler.
Well, what does that smell like?
Well, it's the usual foods that are bought off of carts on the street. A kind of an onion thing, and I'm certainly, and I can tell you one thing, I can smell a five-figure income from a mile away, Phil, let me tell you.
1-800-449-8686. Carrie, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, this is Carrie from Wichita.
Yes, Carrie, go right ahead.
Yeah, this is an actual guest. I was tracking with until the 6th.
Carrie, my name is Ted Bell. I own Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. Our new one is in Washington, D.C., and I'm talking about business travel. And
yes.
I hope that someday you have the good fortune to have a business that employs hundreds of people as mine does. You'll understand the value of time.
Well, Ted, if I ever do, I hope I don't have the same contempt for my future clientele that you do and current clientele.
How do you mean,
one of the things I don't understand is if it comes down to me getting blown out of the air or you waiting 2 hours in line, you can wait 2 hours in line as far as I'm concerned.
But you missed what I said. Nobody who makes the income that I wear Cole Haan shoes.
So why don't you fly a private jet?
I wear Cole Haan shoes.
Why don't you fly a private jet?
I have a
private jet.
Get
the point that you're saying, well, it's down for mechanical failure.
Absolutely.
Why don't you go rent another one?
I'm not going to. We've shipped it.
If you've got all this money, why don't you go rent another one?
I'll tell you this much. Why don't I do that? Why don't they have a special express check-in security line for people who are a higher income? Why don't they just do that?
What would be the sense behind that? I mean, Osama bin Laden higher income.
I wear Cole Haan shoes. I'm going to blow myself out of the air. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah.
Wait a minute. why wouldn't you?
No guy that has a first-class ticket's going to blow himself up. It's not going to happen. Those guys at the World Trade Center, before they cooked that plane, they were sitting in row 23. See what I'm saying, Carrie? So you have to understand.
No, I don't, because Osama bin Laden's family are billionaires.
Right.
Only because they have a conscience. They cut him off from the money years ago.
Well, then let me ask you
but
this
your same thesis, your same idea is that, well, anybody who's rich is not going to be a terrorist. And that's
insane. I'm Ted Bell. All right, number one, Muhammad
Who cares?
Atta. I'm Ted Bell. I own Ted.
Who 20, cares?
21 years I've had that restaurant in Beverly Hills.
Who
we just
cares?
Opened up our new, and we've got another one planned for Nashville, Tennessee next year.
Who cares?
You cannot possibly understand because you're not a busy man like I am. Now, what I would say is this. First of all, you have to look at this guy, Atta.
And I thank God I'm not like you, but that's beside the point. What I don't understand
is
your premise that wealthy people aren't going to be terrorists is totally out there.
How do you know?
Your other premise on the racial profiling, there are Asian Muslims, there are Hispanic Muslims, there are white Muslims, and how do you not know that regardless of their socioeconomic background, that they're not going to be...
Can I ask you a question? When's the last time, seriously, the last time you saw a white sheet wrapper? When's the last time...
Can we call them Muslims, please, not sheet wrapper?
All right.
So you're the redneck.
No, when's
the
last...
sheet wrapper?
Well, when's the last time you saw one that was white?
Well, gee, considering that Wichita does have a high percentage of them that are female, yeah, a couple weeks ago, driving down the street.
You
I look
saw
over,
a white...
she looked Caucasian.
Okay.
And she's wearing the
turban?
The...
She had a turban? Did she have a turban?
I don't know what they call it,
okay,
but she's wearing one.
She's a Sikh. That's not a towel wrapper. That's a Sikh. And
can we not do the towel wrapper thing? And
hey, I'm not the one saying.
I'm not some redneck on my first trip over there to the seven pools in Maui.
You sound like it.
You and your eight kids have all day to sit around in an airport. Wait.
You know what? You and your personal comments are starting to get to me a little bit. Now, if you have a business...
Oh, excuse me. I'm Ted Bell. And
I know you're Ted Bell.
And I buy time on your show.
And I know you buy time on my show, and I appreciate that.
So may I be allowed to finish?
Not when you're going to say you and your eight kids.
Yeah, and you said, you know, the only one
Gary,
that sounds like a redneck on this show
Gary,
is you.
Gary, it's
you're
fun.
The only one that sounds like a redneck
Gary,
on this show.
Gary, look, it's fun for you to for you folk to go see flying machines at the airport, you know? You'll stand in line for a long time. I got to get going. I'm Ted
okay.
Bell.
Ted, do you get psychiatric help? Because you really need it.
Why do I need psychiatric help? Because
you really need it. From listening to you?
Oh, so
from listening to you really need psychiatric help.
You want to stand there.
You should take some of your money from your restaurants that your employees slave away for and go get psychiatric help. That's really what you need to do.
And what was that crack about him and his people wanting to see flying machines?
Oh, that the whole Midwest. Let's go see the barnstorming tour. You know, the two those double-wing crop dusters? Is that what you do?
Who what do?
You people.
You know, Ted,
people?
I'll tell you this much. You're going to be flying commercially. You're going to have to stand in line. And as long as you stand...
I got Bill Nugent working on it.
I don't care if you got Bill Nugent working on it. You're going to have to stand in line, and you're going to have to suck it up like the rest of us. And if that beeper goes off, get ready to take your shoes off.
All right. Well, Phil, thanks. Nice talking to you. Norm Mineta is a personal friend of mine. He is the Transportation Secretary of the United States government. You've heard of that, Gary, right? The
I really don't care.
Yeah,
you still need psychiatric help.
He is
still
the
have contempt
friend.
For your clients and your future clients.
I need psychiatric.
And you're still a redneck.
And
I mean, so what's the problem?
Okay, so I need psychiatric help even though
yes,
I make,
you do.
I
a
make
lot
seven
of it.
Figures
I,
a
I
year.
I would highly recommend like an express package, you know, like a very large block of time.
Oh, you think I need an express line for the nut patients, is that it?
Yeah, I really do. Like a red eye.
That's pretty good. They should have an express check-in for people that are nuts.
Yeah.
All right, well.
They really should. And I've never
right,
seen, I've never seen a business owner.
What?
I've never seen a business owner that has much content for their clients or future clients as you.
You know, this Cary fellow is all up in my headrest. And the high point of his flying machine trip is that all that food fits in a little tray. Isn't that right, Cary?
Excuse me?
You heard what I said.
Here at Tess, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Look, I'm getting mental health advice from Cary the Carney.
Thank you, guys. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, our souvenir shop's open. The best of the Phil Henry Show CDs are available. Our 2002, as of, we're going to make the big call. We want to make the 2002 available for order right now, even though we haven't had it pressed yet, because we do want to make it available for Christmas. So we're going to jump all over that. We're going to climb on that. Our hips will thrust up and down on that one. We'll crawl off of it and collapse. We're going to make it happen, and you can take my word for that. Anyway, go to our website, check out our souvenir shop. The Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available, our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, and the Best of Phil Henry Show CDs, 1997 through 2002, available. The money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. If you want to order the CD, the server was down. The My Friend's Place server was down. We had calls from people saying, we can't order the CD because your link to My Friend's Place is not working. You can always call toll-free. You can call this number toll-free, always, to get the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. And maybe I should have been giving this number out earlier because not everybody has a computer. The number is 1-877-616-PHIL. Or if you prefer, if you're like me, who gets sick to death of staring at the keypad on the phone, P-H, and don't you just love it when you're working your cell phone and you're driving in the car? It's like 1-877-616-PHI. 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. You can order over the phone our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. That is also got a turnaround that's pretty quick, too. Christmas is coming up. We don't want anybody to be without. We want to make sure Santa Claus gets to everybody. That's on our website, or if you want that number for the CDs. All of the orders are filled for our Tens of Beverly Hills bowling shirts fairly quickly, as well as our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirts. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Had a wonderful weekend in Las Vegas. I worked a event at Bally's. Should I say which event I was working at Bally's? Should I mention the event? I have two people shaking their head, don't do it, Phil. I have three people shaking their head, don't do it, Phil. They don't want me to say what event I worked at Bally's on Saturday night as the MC in Las Vegas. They're shaking their heads vigorously, so naturally I will tell you what event I worked Saturday night. And this could cost me my entire listening base, or it could grab me a whole bunch of new listeners. I worked the Dr. Laura 55th birthday party at Bally's on Saturday night. And I'm going to tell you something else. Dr. Laura asked me to be the MC of that show. And I'll go you one further. I considered not doing it for fear it might be bad for my image. And I'll tell you something else. I asked my wife. I asked Mr. K. I asked Mr. O. I asked Ms. U. And I asked Mr. T and P, and they all said, go ahead, do it. So I did. I did a little patter every half hour. And I will tell you that I met nice folks. I had a lot of people asking me for an autograph. The good doctor herself, physiologist though she may be, was a joy. And she was, when I say a joy, it always sounds like I'm a guest on Martha Stewart. It's a joy to be here. Today, flowers and how they can look good in a can. It was fun. It was. It was cool. Then at 11 o'clock, the better part of the night began because I took my wife, Trevor Oliver, and Amir Forster, who works here at Premier Radio Networks. All four of us went to Olympic Gardens in Las Vegas. Oh, yeah. Now, why did we take two women? Because we wanted to shock them, because we wanted to insult them, because we didn't care whether they liked it or not. They were going to come along with us because they were in our company. No, the reason why we took a couple of women to the Olympic Gardens in Las Vegas is because they wanted to go, and they bugged me until I said yes. Because they wouldn't let us go without them. Because if Trevor had said to me, let's go to Olympic Gardens, I'd say, fine, I'll see you back at the room at 2. My wife says, I want to go. What do you want to go? I want to go. I've never seen one of those shows before. I want to go. Well, I don't want to. Well, then I'm going to go by myself. Okay. I haven't been married long enough to be comfortable with my wife going by herself someplace at 2 in the morning. All right, we'll go. We go to the Olympic Gardens. Beautiful women. I mean, if you've ever been there, some of the most beautiful women you'll see in any quality strip joint anywhere. And this ain't even no strip joint. They're nude when they get up there. So they got 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know how many stages they have in there, but I pick out 4 seats. Very first stage, we walk through the door. We pay our $80 cover, $20 a person. We go in. We sit down. I order up 4 $14 drinks. We sit down, and up on the stage comes LaWanda or some phony baloney name. Her real name is Jane, and her name is Tanya. And by this point, Trevor and I have had probably, I'd say 9 or 10 Long Island iced teas. So the world is just a beautiful place. And here's my wife. Here's my wife and Amir. Now, those girls will do a dance for anybody. So I paid $5 to this one girl to go ahead and do a little dance for Amir. And if Amir's husband's listening right now, please don't worry. She didn't respond all that much. And it might be a good thing for you, man. And so we had ourselves quite a time in there. A few lap dances were bought. I won't say by who. Because he signs my check. Now, I will say, of course I'm kidding about that. Then the cabbie, we're going back to the hotel. You like Olymba Gardens, man? I don't know. Jaguars way better. Cheetah way better. Okay. Well, next time I'm in town, babe. But anyway, you know, here's the thing about, you know, it's just going to sound crazy. I think I have a beautiful wife. I'm not turned on by skinny women. And when they get the model up there who, you know, the 22-year-old model with the plastic breasts and the thin, skinny ass body, what is that supposed to be great? And I'll tell you, it wasn't just me. There was like eight people at this table, and we were all talking to each other. So when's your 20-year reunion? Really? Oh, that's great. You know, and she's writhing around on the floor. Nothing. There's like $2 laying out there. So I took pity on her, and I tossed a 20 out there. You know, it's funny. If you don't understand the culture of men and the culture of the adult entertainment, and there were many, many women in there, with men, accompanied by men. Some of them may be lesbians, I don't know, but there were tons of women. And if you don't understand that culture, it's really a male environment, and you have to get it about men. Don't ever ask your boyfriend to take you to a joint like that. Don't ever ask your husband to take you in there unless you really get it about how men work. Otherwise, don't you dare ask us to take you in there and then get pissed off when we start throwing the 20s on the stage. You got it, baby? Thank you. I want to go. Oh, you do, huh? All right, we're going. Because that's what happened to me. Halfway through the night, I'm pitching a few bucks here, a few bucks there. Don't give her a $5 bill. Why? She's good. That's too much. We have a budget at home. Oh, look at you. 2 hours ago, you wanted to come. Now, all of a sudden, you're pissed off that I'm throwing the fives out there, huh? I bet you if I bought you a lap dance, you'd be okay. Well, in that case... Yeah, I see what it is when your girlfriend asks you to take her to the joint, or your wife, you're not allowed to have fun. She is. This is a world of men. This is a male culture. All of its depravity, all of its insecurity, all of its sexual confusion, it is the world of men. Why does a guy pay a woman $20 after $20 after $20 bill to have her rubber butt up and down on his chest? I don't know, but it doesn't bother me. A lot of guys do it. Why do happily married men go in there? That's right, I said happily married guys go in there and pay her $20 just so she'll writhe around without taking anything off. Who knows? That's what they do. And then he can go home and be in love with his wife, I think. And one other thing, guys, you know that if you take your wife there, your girlfriend there, and you have fun, she'll just sit there with the big smirk on her face. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Bozell, I'm told that you're at Dewey's on La Cienega.
That is correct.
And I'm told also this is a dangerous situation for you, isn't it?
I'm an alcoholic, yes, sir.
And you are sitting in a bar right now?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, this relates to the lawsuit that you are filing. Can you tell me about last Thanksgiving, and we'll ask about what's coming up this Thanksgiving?
This is where it started, sir, last Thanksgiving.
The reason why you're initiating a lawsuit?
That is correct. I don't know if you want me to...
Just proceed. Just start at any point.
I have a next-door neighbor. His name is Roy Hutchins. He come into my home last Thanksgiving while I was enjoying Thanksgiving dinner. He and his family were coming in for a quick visit like they do every year. We were being very good neighbors. It was at this time I was eating a turkey neck, which my wife prepares for me every year. She bakes it with the turkey and all the fixings. It's a tradition in my family. I am the only one now that does it, but my grandfather, my father, and now me have always eaten the turkey neck.
The turkey neck is an unusual part of the turkey. Why?
Well, because when it was during the Depression and money was tight, people would eat every bit of the turkey. And so
I understand.
So I'm eating the turkey neck. It's kind of a symbol of appreciation for what you have.
I understand that.
So I'm eating the turkey neck, and Mr. Hutchins came around the corner, and he saw me eating this part of the turkey, and he said, and I wrote it down because my attorney told me to write everything I could down, and I've been spending the last 3 weeks writing everything that I could remember down. He says, "Hey, Steve, I didn't know you ate baked penis."
Holy God, were the kids there?
No, sir, fortunately they weren't. They were on the other side of the house playing their videos. And I looked up at the Hutchins.
And Mrs. Hutchins was there, too.
That is correct, Lori Hutchins. And I saw my wife, April. She was laughing. Roy's wife, Lori Hutchins, she then said this sentence, which I did write down, quote, "Well, if that's the case, leave a little for me," end quote. And then she proceeded to laugh as well. The only saving grace out of all this was that, as you said, Mr. Henry, my children were not present to hear this.
Well, it's a decidedly adult comment. Whether it was humorous or not, I'm sure he said it knowing the kids were not in the room.
Well, that is true, but that leaves one party's feelings that haven't been addressed, and that would be my feelings. Now, it's going to be a year this Thursday since the comment was made to me in front of my wife. I have around 60 hours or so to file a civil complaint, and I have 60 hours or so to file a civil complaint. I'm a little bit nervous, sir. I hope you know.
You're doing very fine, sir. Go ahead.
And, of course, the thing that hurts the most is my wife, who understands the reason why I eat the turkey neck every Thursday.
Steve, I'm going to jump in here.
Yes, sir.
I think it's kind of a cool tradition, because Thanksgiving is the time of year that we give thanks. And certainly people who were around during the Depression suffered a great amount of deprivation.
That is true.
And so your family, your father, your grandfather, and you eat the turkey neck as a way of sort of paying homage to those who did not have as much.
That is true, sir.
All right. And so Mr. Hutchins came around the corner and said, "I didn't know." And we're quoting again, folks, and we're not being gratuitous. "I didn't know you ate baked penis."
That is correct.
And you found that humiliating, and you found that to be offensive.
I found that decidedly humiliating. I found that to be decidedly offensive, and the thing that hurt most again, Phil, was my wife laughed. She understands the reason why I eat the turkey neck every Thanksgiving, because, as you said, it's traditional on the man side of our family. It reminds us of a time when people didn't have so much.
I totally understand that.
And I wanted to pass on this patriarchal tradition to my son, and what's happened has he put into my mind that now the turkey neck looks like some guy's thing. And not only that, I was going to pass this on to my son, and now my son is going to be eating a man's thing, too. And
why? So this guy, by mentioning this, he put this into your mind?
I can't get it out of my mind, yes, sir. And that's the insidious part of these people who make their filthy comments. They do it so it's now into your head, and now you can't never see it any other way. And if I saw a turkey neck now I'm going to think about a man's you-know-what.
And you don't want to pass this on to your son because you don't want your son...
I don't want... I just...
Because your son doesn't know that. He's not thinking about that.
But I am. And if I'm saying to him, "Son, it's now time for you to eat the turkey neck," all I'm looking at my own boy eating a guy's you-know-what.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bozell is suing his neighbor, Mr. Hutchins. You're also suing Mrs. Hutchins. Let me get into the reasons for this lawsuit. Why are you suing?
Reason number one is I'm an American and I have the God-given right to use the judicial system to redress a grievance. And when a family tradition to honor the deprivation of the Depression generation becomes a dirty joke about eating the private area of a guy, and the hallowed relationship between a father and son is destroyed because now I don't want to encourage my son to eat something that others may think they may misunderstand. My son could be eating a turkey neck one Thanksgiving, and a guy would come in and say, "You're eating a guy's you-know-what."
Now, the list of people, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you don't know.
I honestly don't think that's going to happen. Your friend was making a joke. Your friend was busting your you-know-whats, okay?
Well...
Now, the list of people you're suing is extensive.
Yes, sir. I'm suing Roy and Lori Hutchins for personal injury and lewd conduct, and for psychological injury.
And that's because you can't look at a turkey neck without thinking about a man's private area.
That is correct. I'm also suing Mr. and Mrs. Hutchins for child endangerment, My son Steve Jr. is 14, and I will not be able to pass on his family tradition of turkey neck eating because I will think I am teaching my own boy.
Are you all right, sir?
I will think I'm teaching my own boy how to eat a man's you-know-what.
Now, you've named Doris Bozell, and this is your mother.
That is correct.
Why are you suing your own mother?
Phil, I'm suing her for damages relating to child endangerment as well, for not informing me that the turkey neck, which is a traditional dish among the poor in the South that she prepared for my father, could possibly be misconstrued as male genitalia. And that's probably the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life and will ever do again. Mother, I love you from the bottom of my heart, but I have to sue you.
All right, I want to tell you this much, Mr. Bozell, and I have an opinion decidedly. Whether or not the comment was off color, whether it should have been said in mixed company, in front of children, or whatever, this lawsuit is going to cost taxpayers money. This is...
Oh, I've heard this song and dance before, Mr.
No, you please hear me out. This is going to cost taxpayers money. It's going to cost for bailiffs. It's going to cost for court reporters. It's going to cost for the judge. It's going to cost for record recalling. It's going to call for record recording. The taxpayers are going to shoulder... It's going to pay for a large office staff. Taxpayers are going to shoulder a very large part of this. And I got to tell you that while it's an off-color comment, is this not frivolous?
No, sir, it is not. And I will not countenance anybody saying this is a frivolous lawsuit. When I'm eating a part of the turkey that has come down from tradition and from generation to generation, and I have somebody come into my home and to say what he said.
I know what he said. He said, it looks like you're eating a man's thing.
He said, quote, I didn't know you ate baked penis. End quote. It's my right to take people's tax dollars if I feel that I've been mistreated, and the taxpayers got no choice but to back me up on this deal.
Well, I don't know that that's the case. The judge is going to represent whether this case is going to be heard or not.
But it doesn't make any difference because the taxpayers have got to back me up on this, whether they want to or not. I've been wrong. I had a man come into my home, talk about me eating turkey neck like I'm eating some guy's...
Judge may call it frivolous.
No judge will. My attorney assures me that the judge will hear it. Taxpayers have got to back me up on this, whether they like it or not. I'm suing.
1-800-449-8686. Would you back up this lawsuit? Stephen Bozell, who was contacted by my producer, Janice Ngaro, earlier today, we saw this move on the City Wire. He's suing his friend, his next-door neighbor, his wife. He's suing his own wife. He's suing his own mother because apparently Mr. Bozell believes that all of them knew that a turkey neck looked like a man's penis, and he's enjoyed eating it for many years. It's a tradition in his family. They eat the turkey neck as a symbol of appreciation for all that they have because at one time, I suppose, that was a part of the bird that poor people ate. And now he says he's afraid to pass this tradition on to his own son because every time he sees his son eating a turkey neck, he'll think it's a guy's you-know-what. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. We have with us Stephen Bozell. You're in a bar right now, correct, sir?
I'm sitting at the Dewey's on La Cienega.
And you are an alcoholic, but you're considering drinking.
I'm considering drinking. If I don't sue, I might as well take a drink because of what's been done to my family and a family tradition.
All right, Mr. Bozell is contemplating suing a next-door neighbor, his own mother and his wife, for laughing at him while he was eating the turkey neck last Thanksgiving. This is an annual tradition, and his next-door neighbor said it looked like he was eating a man's penis. Baked, end quote. You found that comment to be off color? I agree with you. You found it to be insulting. I would also agree with you, sir.
Thank you.
But I don't know that it's worth suing over.
Well, it was an insulting thing to say. And
there were no children present, so that would mean that there was no real child endangerment. And you want to sue him based on child endangerment because...
Because of the fact, Mr. Henry, that I passed the tradition of eating a turkey neck now, the turkey neck down from generation on down to generation on down to generation. And I wanted to pass it on to my own son. And now I can't pass it on to my own son because I'll think that I am teaching my son how to eat a guy's thing. And that is a child endangerment situation. In other words, if I teach my son how to do that, they could arrest me for giving him advice on how to give sex to a guy. So he has made me endanger my own child.
Wait a minute. You can't arrest a guy for teaching his son how to eat a turkey neck.
Yes, you can, if what you think it looks like is a guy's thing.
So you're blaming Mr. Hutchins for putting the thought into your head that it looks like some guy's thing.
Yeah, somebody's got to protect me too, Mr. Henry. Let's get down to brass tacks. And
well, I don't know if you...
No, somebody's got to protect me, and that someone is the law.
But again, I said the taxpayers have to pick up the cost of this lawsuit.
Nope. That's their problem, not mine.
So you don't care?
I don't care. When it comes to my protection, they're going to have to back me up. So I'm just going to... I don't care what they think. I'm just waiting for the taxpayers to kick in on this, to back me up, because a great family tradition's been ruined, because now every time I look at a turkey neck, I can't help myself. I think about a man's penis.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here is Sam. Go ahead, Sam. Sam?
Yeah, I think this is absolutely ridiculous. He's got more problems than just this turkey neck thing. He's taking this way too seriously. Throw the bum out of his house. Don't speak to him. Move on and be done with it.
Well, sir, you have to understand, this is a good friend of mine, and it took me by surprise. It shocked me. I'm not used to throwing my friends out of my house.
Oh, but it's okay to sue them?
Well, it's taken me a year, and I've been thinking on it and thinking on it.
And you're sitting in a bar right now, which is a very dangerous place for an alcoholic to be.
I know, but I feel like I need to take a drink.
But taking a drink's not going to change anything. It's not going to make the situation better. It's not going to make this lawsuit any better either.
Do you have any tradition that you pass down? Do you have any sons?
I have lots of traditions that I pass down. And a silly comment made by somebody at a party is not going to take that tradition away from me.
Well, the problem is now I look at a turkey neck and I think about a penis.
Like you say, the problem is yours, not his.
No, he's the one that put that in. See, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. He stuck it into my head.
No, he can't stick anything in your head.
Yes, sir,
he did.
No, he made me think about that. So put yourself in my shoes. How would you feel if a man said to you that you like to eat a guy's private part?
I'd throw him out of my house and wouldn't talk to him anymore.
Well, I need something more. I am 12 years, 11 months sober.
And
a turkey neck looking like a penis is going to make me drink.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
That's ridiculous for you to take a drink over that. Why are you so sensitive, man? Thank you very much for your call, Sam. Why are you so sensitive?
I'm not sensitive. This is a point about a family tradition.
You don't think you're being overly sensitive?
No, I do not.
And there's nothing that I could say to dissuade you from filing this lawsuit that is going to take money from the taxpayers and is going to take money out of your family. You hire this attorney, don't you?
I have her on retainer, yes, sir. You have to understand, Mr. Henry, the seed has been planted in my head. A seed that has polluted the grounds of a family tradition.
Steve,
allow me to finish, sir, that for 38 years, when I thought I was eating a turkey neck to honor the traditions of the Depression era peoples, for 38 years I've been eating baked man's parts.
You know, that's a sign of a mind that isn't exactly in control of itself.
What is?
Looking down at something in a dish and saying, gee, now it looks like a penis because Roy Hutchins said it did.
That's not the sign of a weak
mind. Yeah, that's the sign of a weak mind. That's the sign of a guy who...
How you figure?
Well, come on, man. I mean, it's like, if I was eating a hot dog and someone said, oh, it looks like a guy's thing, Maybe that would stick in my mind for a second, and then I'd go on.
Oh, because you got a stronger mind than me? Most people are not like you because you're on a talk show. You do the talk radio program. Most people are like me. We are very suggestible. We are people that don't have, most people don't have strong minds. You travel in a whole, and now that you said hot dog, now I'm thinking about that. I can't get that out of my mind.
What is?
You what you just said about a hot dog.
Well, you're not going to sue me, are you?
Why did you say that?
Okay, look.
You need to understand, Mr. Henry, not everybody has a strong mind like you. Most of the people out here in the world are weak-minded, and when someone says that a hot dog looks like a man's thing, that's the first thing you think about.
You sound like you're on the verge of tears, like you're going to bawl, like you're going to cry, like you're going to break down and cry. I mean,
I'm but a man who believes in family tradition.
But listen to your voice cracking and quivering. Now I can't eat the turkey neck because it looks like a man's penis.
So now you're making fun of me?
Yes, I'm making fun of you. And to demand that the taxpayers pay for this...
Well, they got no choice.
They got no choice.
They have no choice, sir. The taxpayers of Riverside County and the taxpayers of the United States, if I take this all the way to the Supreme Court, are going to have to pay for it.
Well, I think that there's a good chance that a judge will throw this out.
I do not. My attorney assures me that there won't. But thanks to you mentioning a hot dog, now I can never go to a Dodger game and have a hot dog, and you'll be getting a letter from my attorney.
Oh, bull crap, and I'm not going to respond to any such thing. 1-800-449-8686 here on The Phil Henry Show. You know, it's really interesting, but the guy's right. We do, whether we like it or not.
What guy are you talking about?
I'm talking about you. Would you mind? Do you hold on for a minute?
All right.
Hello?
I'm right here. I'm listening.
This guy is talking about you and I have to back him up when he goes into court to sue because somebody made the comment that a turkey neck looks like a man's penis.
And they got no choice to it.
And we have no choice. And that makes you feel great, doesn't it?
It makes me feel good. I know a country like America is going to back me up.
1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show number here as we talk to Stephen Bozell. He's a construction contractor in Corona, California. The eating of a turkey neck has been a long-standing tradition in his family at Thanksgiving, honoring the Depression-era generations that used to eat everything of the turkey. And now, because one of his neighbors made a crude reference to a man's private parts, it's ruined it for him. He's suing, and we're picking up the tab.
That's right, because that's my right.
I'm sorry?
That's my right.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bozell, I mentioned to you that your lawsuit against this man, a neighbor of yours, who said you eating a turkey neck looked like you eating a guy's baked penis. Now you're saying you can use the... I said that costs a lot of money.
And what I'm saying to you, Mr. Henry, is the 9/11 emergency funds got way more money than they'll ever need to use. They got way more money than they'll ever need to use. Some of the money that the taxpayers would have to pay for my lawsuit against Mr. Hutchins, Lori Hutchins, and Doris Bozell, my mother, could be drawn from the 9/11 fund. So should the taxpayers help pay for my loss, a loss is a loss. I lost a family tradition and the innocence of the turkey part. But to defray the cost...
What do you mean the innocence of a turkey part? You've got a neck sitting in a bowl.
It was the tradition and innocence of the turkey neck. And a man come along and say, it looks like a man's penis?
All right, so you want to use 9/11 money?
There is an abundance of 9/11 money, yes, sir.
Money that was intended for the victims of 9/11.
Sir, there's way more than they'll ever need. Way more than they'll ever need. They've already paid everybody off, and they could pay them more, but then they'd be millionaires, and what would that do? I'm saying, for my hurt and pain...
You're not saying that you suffered something equal to what the people suffered in New York, are you?
No, sir, I'm not. Emotionally, yes, I have. But no, sir, not physically.
How could you compare that?
Because I was hurt too, just like they were.
They're dead, man. They're dead.
What about their families?
What about their families? Their families lost their loved ones. And to say that a woman that lost a husband or a husband that lost a wife is the same grief that you're feeling about a guy saying you eating a turkey neck looks like you're eating a guy's thing. You're saying that, aren't you?
The family tradition is dead.
1-800-449-8686. Cheryl, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I would like to make the comment.
Yes, ma'am.
To this gentleman, first of all, I don't agree that everyone, the majority of people in this country are weak-minded. I think he should use money that he would spend for a lawyer and go and see a good shrink. Because
what?
Obviously...
Well, so you think I'm crazy because I want to protect the Bozell family tradition? No.
I think you're overly sensitive in caring so much what another person says.
So you think that's appropriate?
And, yes, I think you're nuts.
And why would my wife laugh at it?
I would imagine it was in a party mood and that it was probably funny at the time. You need to let it go and go on with your life.
That's fine. You can let it go. But this is
turkey necks are a popular food in lots of parts of the country.
Ma'am, do you eat turkey neck?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay.
You put them in a gumbo.
Like...
You season them. You smoke turkey necks
for
a gumbo.
I'll bet you smoke it.
You
okay,
do.
Now
smoke
you're
them on a grill.
Well, yeah. So how about if I said to you, "Hey, Cheryl, you like that turkey neck? I bet you like to smoke it."
Okay. Now
you make it smoked like a ham. You know, it's a delicacy.
That's generally where you smoke the neck in a ham.
All
you
right.
You can buy them at Winn-Dixie. You know, did you ever hear of Winn-Dixie?
Who's she?
$2.49 a pound.
See, ma'am, I was just making a whole bunch of jokes on you, and you didn't get any of them.
I got them, and they were insulting.
Well, I don't think they were funny.
And
it didn't bother me either. It didn't bother me. Nothing you say to me could bother me because I've got a strong mind, and I'm just a normal worker.
Most people are weak-minded.
No, they're not.
They have no mind at all.
You are. You
well, ma'am,
are
no,
sure.
Ma'am. I'd say most of the workers of America are weak-minded, and their minds have gone away, gone far away.
Well, I feel sorry for you, the people you know, because you're hanging with the wrong crowd.
But, ma'am, that's my wife and my son, who I wanted to pass down the neck-eating tradition to. Now I just...
Why don't you just forget about whether it looks like a guy's thing or not and pass the tradition down to your son and forget it. Just blot it out of your mind.
I'd have to go to one of those schools of hypnosis for people who like smoke.
Well, but, do it. Do it, if that's what it takes.
See, it's okay, though, for a lady to eat the turkey neck because people are used to women eating that area. But I'm a man.
Oh, that's disgusting.
No. Why is that disgusting?
It's also insulting.
You think I'm the only one that... It's a tradition.
Nobody's going to laugh at a woman eating that part, but a man that does, they'll laugh.
Well, men
and laugh.
Eat them too. Oh. Everybody eats them in the South.
Boy, I'd love to see that. I guess they all look like they're pole smokers.
All right, that's the end of that.
he really does need some help.
I think he does. He's in a bar. He's in a bar right now. He's an alcoholic.
Well,
he's in a bar. He's an alcoholic. This
guy's
going to fall off the
wagon.
It sounds
like to me he's already had a few.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
Have you been drinking?
No, I have not. I had ginger ale.
You better get out of that bar, man, before you have a drink. Because if you think that crack about the turkey neck is making your life miserable, and you're an alcoholic, you take a drink, things are really going to go bad.
But everybody gets to say that I get to eat on it.
Okay. Cheryl, thank you very much for your call. I think this is Amar. Amar?
Yes, sir.
You're on the air, Phil, with the Phil Henry Show and Stephen Bozell. Go ahead.
I would like to know what planet this guy drop off of.
What's that supposed to mean?
It is just totally ridiculous. This guy is ridiculous, and he's going to waste taxpayers' money on a lawsuit like this. Another thing I would like to know is...
Are you from a country where they have the neck of the turkey?
Sir, I eat turkey necks, chicken necks. Hot dogs, it don't matter to me what. And you get, I mean, everyone, I think...
You eat hot dogs too, sir?
Yes, sir.
What about sausages and all of those
sausage,
things?
Sausage, I eat all those things.
Have you ever had a friend of yours say, "Oh, look at you, you like to eat that"?
You know, I had I spend a lot of time in the military, and we get jokes about that stuff all the time. And, you know, it's a joke. And you move on and take it for what it is.
So guys did make fun of you for eating on the turkey neck.
Yes.
And he's
and
not
it's a joke, and
the
you
point
move
is,
on.
The point I is think, he's not suing anybody. He's not suing people.
What about if they took the 9/11 money and gave it to me for my pain and suffering?
I think that's ridiculous, too, to use taxpayers' money for the victims to pay your lawsuit. I think it's ridiculous.
That,
what you and suing your mother, that's really ridiculous also.
I'm suing my mother because she should have warned me about me having that in my mouth.
Sir, what planet are you from?
Sir,
what planet are you from?
Sir, I come from the planet Earth the same as you, sir.
It is ridiculous.
My mother should never have... If she allowed me to have that tradition... And allowed me to put that in my mouth year in and year out without warning me that guys would make jokes.
Sir, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Knoxville.
Guys make jokes all the time.
I grew up in Knoxville.
You take it for what it is and you move on with your life.
Well, the Bozell tradition is to hold the turkey neck in the mouth and eat it with no hands.
It's a tradition. You pass it on to your son and you move on.
After they said that about it?
Wait a minute.
What?
You have it in your mouth and you eat it with no hands?
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe that's kind of...
Oh, see, there you go. See, I knew you'd, yeah.
Well, it is kind
of... My mom taught me to suck the marrow out of the middle of it.
Oh, God.
I, you know what I would like to know also? The lawyer that actually accepted this case.
Her name is Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, California. She's been my family attorney now for 10 years. I trust her with my life.
That is damn ridiculous.
You're in
and I hope that I hope the judge has the sense to throw this thing out of court.
And okay, then I guess I'm taking a drink.
Why are you taking a drink, sir?
Because it's either I take a drink or I file this lawsuit.
Well, you know what? If that's what it takes for you to save the taxpayers some money, you need to go ahead and take that drink.
Oh, great. Now wind up on Skid Row.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, I think I'd rather see that than you go before a judge. And what do you got to do? Do you have to photograph the turkey neck or what?
Okay, now you're making jokes.
No, really. I mean, if you're going to take this all away, you'd probably have to have a photograph of the turkey neck. How long was it? How big was it? How do we know it looks like what he said it looked like?
As kids, we had contests on it. It was part of our family life. It was who could fit the most necks in their mouth. And I won. I had six.
So,
all right. Okay.
You know.
Oh, look at Insane Clown Posse. Turn it back.
Amar, I'm going to go.
Insane Clown Posse.
Would you listen to me, Insane Clown Posse? Listen to me. Thank you very much, Amar.
All right. Thank
1-800-449-8686.
I said to turn it back, damn it.
Who are you talking to?
Bartender. Insane Clown Posse. Turn it back.
1-800-449. Is this guy. Is this cat. Here is Frank. Go ahead, Frank. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I think here you got a closet homo here.
What are you talking about? I've got a wife, I've got a son and a daughter.
Well, then, that's a good stand-in for you, then. You got a good cover there, buddy, because you're a closet homo.
How do you figure?
Well, it's obvious that anybody looks at a turkey neck and comes up with a phallic symbol. No, I didn't.
My next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins, did.
Then you're one hand touched from being in bed with him. You got to go to bed with your neighbor.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Well, let me ask you this: if he told you to go down on his turkey neck, you'd probably do it, right?
You know something? If you were standing in front of me, I'd kick you around the block for drill.
Son, I'd have your head turned around so fast you wouldn't be able to say turkey neck.
I doubt it. I sincerely do.
And you know what? Ain't nobody crazy enough to give you any of that 911 money. They ought to put you in a funny farm yourself.
Oh, yeah? They've got more 911 money. They know what to do with. All them victims have been paid off and paid off yet again.
Yeah, they ain't going to give you a dime of it for your stupid, ridiculous homo tendencies. You need to see a shrink or somebody find out why your head's square on the back end and round in the front.
Okay, you laughing too, Mr.
Son?
I'll tell you this right now. I have a family tradition. We eat the turkey neck with no hands. I suppose you think that's weird.
Well, actually, that's pretty good. You're all set up, then. The guy that grabs the back of your head, he don't want your hands in the way either when he's pulling you down on him. You'd be great.
Boy, I'll tell you what, right now, you know all about it, don't you?
You ought to go down to South Beach and sell some of your own services.
Hey, listen,
you're going to arrest.
You know what? Spend a little less time in the rest stop, a little longer driving the truck, okay?
Listen, there's plenty of guys out there ready to drink with you.
I'll bet you know them all, too. I bet you got all their phone numbers.
As you admit that you're a queer,
hey.
I think the biggest danger to your kid is you.
Hey, why don't you give me your black book and I'll call some of them.
Okay. What are you guys doing now?
This guy's full of crap.
All right, listen.
Sir, I don't come and kick the sailor's parts out of your mouth when you're working.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Brothers Vineyards, Modesto, California. The next time you take time out to be with the most important people in your life, we'd like to be there. Redwood Creek, a Chardonnay slow-pressed for a full, long, lingering taste. Because what our winemaking tradition has taught us is the importance of taking time. Redwood Creek, because good things take time.
Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
I love you, Romeo.
I love you, Juliet.
Too bad our families hate each other.
Yeah.
How is Geico able to guarantee my claim repairs and still save me money?
Don't know.
I love you anyway.
All right, then.
We can guarantee claim repairs for as long as you own your car, and you could save 15% on car insurance. Call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
This Friday only, it's the Ace one-day sale. Over $145 in available mail-in rebates. Get great gifts, like a Black & Decker Dustbuster for $14.99. Just $9.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. A Rival slow cooker, $24.99. Just $14.99 after $10 mail-in rebate. An Ever-Ready multi-pack batteries, $7.99. Just 99 cents after mail-in rebate. This Friday only, at Ace.
Mail-in rebates void in Connecticut. Prices may vary. At participating Ace hardware retailers, quantities may be limited.
Miraculous.
Fantastic.
Most wonderful product in years.
What's so great about Thermacare heat wraps? They're 33% better at relieving muscle pain than ibuprofen, the active ingredient in Advil.
Thermacare works.
It goes deep down.
Way down.
Really helps my aches and pains.
Thermacare stays warm for 8 hours.
The warmth did wonders.
So tight muscles relax.
It took away my pain.
I'll take Thermacare over pills any day.
Get 33% better muscle pain relief with Thermacare. Feel a difference or your money back. Call 1-866-HEAT-WORKS within 30 days of purchase with pouch and receipt.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bozell, I mentioned to you that your lawsuit against this man, a neighbor of yours, who said you eating a turkey neck looked like you eating a guy's baked penis. Now you're saying you can use the... I said that costs a lot of money.
And what I'm saying to you, Mr. Hendry, is the 9/11 emergency funds got way more money than they'll ever need to use. Some of the money that the taxpayers would have to pay for my lawsuit against Mr. Hutchins, Lori Hutchins, and Doris Bozell, my mother, could be drawn from the 9/11 fund. So should the taxpayers help pay for my loss, a loss is a loss. I lost a family tradition and the innocence of the turkey part. But to defray the cost...
What do you mean the innocence of a turkey part? You've got a neck sitting in a bowl.
It was the tradition and innocence of the turkey neck. And a man come along and say it looks like a man's penis?
All right, so you want to use 9/11 money?
There is an abundance of 9/11 money, yes, sir.
Money that was intended for the victims of 9/11.
Sir, there's way more than they'll ever need. Way more than they'll ever need. They've already paid everybody off, and they could pay them more, but then they'd be millionaires, and what would that do? I'm saying, for my hurt and pain,
You're not saying that you suffered something equal to what the people suffered in New York, are you?
No, sir, I'm not. Emotionally, yes, I have. But no, sir, not physically.
How could you compare that?
Because I was hurt, too, just like they were.
They're dead, man. They're dead.
What about their families?
What about their families? Their families lost their loved ones. And to say that a woman that lost a husband or a husband that lost a wife is the same grief that you're feeling about a guy saying you eating a turkey neck looks like you're eating a guy's thing. You're saying that, aren't you?
The family tradition is dead.
1-800-449-8686. Cheryl, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I would like to make the comment.
Yes, ma'am.
To this gentleman, first of all, I don't agree that everyone, the majority of people in this country are weak-minded. I think he should use money that he would spend for a lawyer and go and see a good shrink. Because obviously,
so you think I'm crazy because I want to protect the Bozell family tradition? No.
I think you're overly sensitive in caring so much what another person says.
So you think that's appropriate?
And yes, I think you're nuts.
And why would my wife laugh at it?
I would imagine it was in a party mood and that it was probably funny at the time. You need to let it go and go on with your life.
That's fine. You can let it go. But this is
turkey necks are a popular food in lots of parts of the country.
Ma'am, do you eat turkey neck?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay.
You put them in a gumbo.
Like...
You season them. You smoke turkey neck.
Yes,
I'll
bet
you gumbo.
Smoke it. I'll bet you smoke it.
You
okay,
do. You
now
smoke
you're
them on a grill.
Well, yeah. So how about if I said to you, "Hey, Cheryl, you like that turkey neck? I bet you like to smoke it."
Okay. Now
you make it smoked like a ham. You know, it's a delicacy.
That's generally where you smoke the neck in a ham.
All right.
You can buy them at Winn-Dixie. You know, did you ever hear of Winn-Dixie?
Who's she?
$2.49 a pound.
See, ma'am, I was just making a whole bunch of jokes on you, and you didn't get any of them.
I got them, and they were insulting.
Well, I don't think they were funny.
And
it didn't bother me either. It didn't bother me. Nothing you say to me could bother me, because I've got a strong mind, and I'm just a normal worker.
Most people are weak-minded.
No, they're not.
I have no mind at all.
You are. You
well, ma'am,
are
no,
sure.
Ma'am. I'd say most of the workers of America are weak-minded, and their minds have gone away, gone far away.
Well, I feel sorry for you, the people you know, because you're hanging with the wrong crowd.
But, ma'am, that's my wife and my son, who I wanted to pass down the neck-eating tradition to. Now I just...
Why don't you just forget about whether it looks like a guy's thing or not and pass the tradition down to your son and forget it. Just blot it out of your mind.
I'd have to go to one of those schools of hypnosis for people who like smoke.
Well, do it. Do it, if that's what it takes.
See, it's okay, though, for a lady to eat the turkey neck because people are used to women eating that area, but I'm a man.
Oh, that's disgusting.
No. Why is that disgusting?
It's also insulting.
You think I'm the only one that... It's a tradition.
Nobody's going to laugh at a woman eating that part, but a man that does, they'll laugh.
Well, men eat them too. Oh. Everybody eats them in the South.
Boy, I'd love to see that. I guess they all look like they're pool smokers.
All right, that's the end of that.
he really does need some help.
I think he does. He's in a bar. He's
too.
In a bar right now. He's an alcoholic.
Well,
he's in a bar. He's an alcoholic. This guy's going to fall off the
wagon.
It
sounds like to me he's already had a few.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
Have you been drinking?
No, I have not. I had ginger ale.
You better get out of that bar, man, before you have a drink. Because if you think that crack about the turkey neck is making your life miserable, and you're an alcoholic, you take a drink, things are really going to go bad.
But everybody gets to say that I get to eat on it.
Okay. Cheryl, thank you very much for your call. I think this is Amar. Amar?
Yes, sir.
You're on the air, Phil, with the Phil Henry Show and Stephen Bozell. Go ahead.
I would like to know what planet this guy dropped off of.
What's that supposed to mean?
It is just totally ridiculous. This guy is ridiculous, and he's going to waste taxpayers' money on a lawsuit like this. Another thing I would like to know is...
Are you from a country where they have the neck of the turkey?
Sir, I eat turkey necks, chicken necks. Hot dogs, it don't matter to me what. And you get, I mean, everyone, I think...
You eat hot dogs too, sir?
Yes, sir.
What about sausages and all of those
sausage,
things?
Sausage, I eat all those things.
Have you ever had a friend of yours say, oh, look at you, you like to eat that?
You know, I spent a lot of time in the military, and we get jokes about that stuff all the time. And, you know, it's a joke. And you move on and take it for what it is.
So guys did make fun of you for eating on the turkey neck.
Yes.
And he's
and
not
it's a joke, and you move on.
The point is he's not suing anybody. He's not suing people.
What about if they took the 9/11 money and gave it to me for my pain and suffering?
I think that's ridiculous, too, to use taxpayers' money money for the victims to pay your lawsuit. It's ridiculous. And suing your mother, that's really ridiculous also.
I'm suing my mother because she should have warned me about me having that in my mouth.
Sir, what planet are you from?
Sir, I come from the planet Earth the same as you, sir.
It is ridiculous.
My mother should never have... If she allowed me to have that tradition and allowed me to put that in my mouth year in and year out without warning me that guys would make jokes...
Sir, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Knoxville.
Guys make jokes all the time.
I grew up in Knoxville.
You take it for what it is and you move on with your life.
Well, the Bozell tradition is to hold the turkey neck in the mouth and eat it with no hands.
It's a tradition. You pass it on to your son and you move on.
After they said that about it?
Wait a minute.
What?
You have it in your mouth and you eat it with no hands?
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe that's kind of...
Oh, see? There you go. See, I knew you'd... Yeah.
Well, it is kind of...
My mom taught me to suck the marrow out of the middle of it.
Oh, God.
I, you know what I would like to know also? The lawyer that actually accepted this case.
Her name is Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, California. She's been my family attorney now for 10 years. I trust her with my life.
That is damn ridiculous. I hope the judge has the sense to throw this thing out of court.
And okay, then I guess I'm taking a drink.
Why are you taking a drink, sir?
Because it's either I take a drink or I file this lawsuit.
Well, you know what? If that's what it takes for you to save the taxpayer some money, you need to go ahead and take that drink.
Oh, great. Now wind up on Skid Row.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, I think I'd rather see that than you go before a judge. And what do you got to do? Do you have to photograph the turkey neck or what?
Okay, now you're making jokes.
No, really. I mean, if you're going to take this all the way, you'd probably have to have a photograph of the turkey neck. How long was it? How big was it? How do we know it looks like what he said it looked like?
As kids, we had contests on it. It was part of our family life. It was who could fit the most necks in their mouth. And I won. I had six.
So,
all right. Okay, yeah.
Oh, look at Insane Clown Posse. Turn it back.
Amar, I'm going to go.
Insane Clown Posse.
Insane Clown Posse. Listen to me. Thank you very much, Amar.
All right, thank you.
1-800-449-8686.
I said to turn it back, damn it.
Who are you talking to?
Bartender. Insane Clown Posse, turn it back.
1-800-449. Is this guy, is this cat? Here is Frank. Go ahead, Frank. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I think here you got a closet homo here.
What are you talking about? I've got a wife, I've got a son and a daughter.
Well, then, that's a good stand-in for you, then. You got a good cover there, buddy, because you're a closet homo.
How do you figure?
Well, it's obvious that anybody looks at a turkey neck and comes up with a phallic symbol. No, I didn't.
My next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins, did.
Then, you're one hand touched from being in bed with him. You got to go to bed with your neighbor.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Well, let me ask you this. If he told you to go down on his turkey neck, you'd probably do it, right?
You know something? If you were standing in front of me, I'd kick you around the block for drill.
Son, I'd have your head turned around so fast you wouldn't be able to say turkey neck.
I doubt it. I sincerely do.
Ain't nobody crazy enough to give you any of that 911 money. They ought to put you in a funny farm yourself.
Oh, yeah? They've got more 911 money. They know what to do with. All them victims have been paid off and paid off yet again.
Yeah, they ain't going to give you a dime of it for your stupid, ridiculous homo tendencies. You need to see a shrink or somebody find out why your head's square on the back end and round in the front.
Okay, you're laughing too, Mr.
Yes, sir?
I'll tell you this right now. I have a family tradition. We eat the turkey neck with no hands. I suppose you think that's weird.
Well, actually, that's pretty good. You're all set up, and the guy that grabs the back of your head, he don't want your hands in the way either when he's pulling you down on him. You'd be great.
Boy, I'll tell you what, right now, you know all about it, don't you?
You ought to go down to South Beach and sell me your own services.
Hey, listen,
you're all right.
You know what? Spend a little less time in the rest stop, a little longer driving the truck, okay?
Listen, there's plenty of guys out there ready to drink with you.
I'll bet you know them all, too. I bet
soon
you got all their phone numbers.
As you admit that you're a queer,
hey.
I think the biggest danger to your kid is you.
Hey, why don't you give me your black book and I'll call some of them.
Okay. What are you guys doing now?
This guy's full of crap.
All right, listen.
Sir, I don't come and kick the sailor's parts out of your mouth when you're working.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And now, Phil Hendry.
I know the rest of the country is, big parts of the country are, you know, experiencing very cold weather. And I just want you to know it was 86 degrees in Las Vegas. Yay! It was fantastic. And the Bellagio Hotel is the greatest hotel in Vegas. Without question, the greatest hotel in Vegas. The Bellagio has a first-class casino. I'm not doing a commercial. It's going to sound like I'm doing a commercial. I'm not. But I'm just going to tell you, it's a pleasure to walk into a hotel in Vegas where you don't feel like you're being treated like just one more cow off the cattle car being led down the ramp to one form of pleasurable slaughter or another. First of all, they've got some kind of a filter system. You've been in there, Chris? They got a filter system where you don't smell a cigarette smoke. Now, occasionally I have a cigar now and again. You know, I don't mind smoke. Some people really like it. Others don't. But one of the things about Las Vegas, no matter where you go, you smell cigarette smoke because you are allowed to smoke in the casinos. So if you don't dig cigarettes and you think that secondhand smoke is just oh so dangerous, well, you just will have to stay home, I guess, because nobody, and I mean nobody, is walking up to you in Vegas and telling you you can't smoke. And it's amazing how much the non-smoker will put up with when he can shove some quarters into a slot machine, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? You know, only in America, everywhere else in life, people who don't smoke have the unmitigated gall to walk up to you and tell you that you should put it out or that you shouldn't smoke. As if it's any of their business. As if it's any of your business. You could stand there having a cigar or a cigarette and some kid will walk by you and tell you you shouldn't be smoking, waving the hand, as if it's killing the kid. It's not killing the kid. You'd have to be locked up in a room for days with a smoker before it could have the kind of degrading effect on your body, whereby we're talking about cancer. A smoker down the hall ain't gonna kill you. But in this country, you can actually walk up to a guy who's having a cigarette and tell him to put it out because you don't like the smell. Well, maybe I don't like your smell. Maybe your smell is driving me nuts. Let's start out with the personal hygiene of a lot of these people, and then we'll move on to cigarette smoking. A, bath. B, soap. C, deodorant. Then we'll get around to the cigarette smoke. But in Vegas, of course, it's a different world. Nobody walks up to you and tells you to put it out. No non-smoker would have the balls to come up to you in Vegas and tell you to put it out. First of all, they don't know. For some reason, non-smokers being... oh, I don't want to say anything, you know, insulting, but being the pussies that they are, they don't really want to walk up to anybody in a casino in Vegas and tell them to put the cigarette out because they don't know who they're going to be walking up to and asking that question of. And so you sit there, but the Bellagio has a filter system that's marvelous. You can't smell anything. The casino smells fantastic. The bars, the bartenders are great. Just gentlemen. The waitresses are first class. If you like to play the machines, you can play the machines. They've got all kinds. They got a great dice roulette. They even play war. they play a game called Casino War in the Bellagio. Yeah, the old war that we're talking about. One card, $10 a card. $10 a card. And beautiful rooms. They have an arboretum garden there where you can walk into the shops, into the restaurants. they got a restaurant there that's open 24 hours that's always got a table available to you. You know, Marie and I went in after we saw, they have the theater there for Cirque du Soleil, the O show. Man, what a show. What an incredible show. You got to see it to believe it. And for a bunch of Canadians to pull it off, it's doubly shocking. I'm kidding, Janice. Really terrific. And let me tell you something else about the Bellagio. I say this with the greatest of respect and the greatest of love for many of you, but you ain't going to see anybody in shorts and flip-flops. In other words, many of our very fine and wonderful white trash in the Bellagio. It ain't going to happen. People are dressed up in that joint. I mean, they are in suits. If they're not in a suit, they're at least in a sports jacket or some kind of a jacket and slacks. The ladies look great. Occasionally you see the jeans, but, you know, you just don't see slobs in that place like you do other places. They don't have the pick-a-number games, you know. The hillbillies go for that. I heard a guy, I was standing getting a drink, and I heard a lady, I swear to God, I don't know, this is a little too high class for us. I guess we better go over to Rio. And I thought, yes! Yes! Maria said, God, you know, kind of a nice joint. I said, I just heard a couple of hillbillies, and I say hillbilly. I know I'm going to get some hillbillies calling now and going, what's so wrong about a hillbilly? You know what I'm saying. I'm just not meaning you. I mean just, I said, I heard a couple of them over there say they're going to split. She goes, oh, that's a break. Really tremendous. And that O show, if you've never seen Cirque du Soleil, I would suggest you go and see O first before you see anything else. You're going to see something amazing. You can't believe. I looked at the program, the number of dancers and performers they have, what would you say, about 100? And they have coaches and therapists. And my understanding is somebody is hurt in that cast every night. It could be a strained ligament. It could be a torn muscle. When you look at the way these guys perform, it won't surprise you at all. The lighting, the staging, incredible. They built this theater specifically for O. The stage opens up. They can turn it into a lake. They can turn it into a shallow lake. They can bring the floor all the way up, and they've got a dry floor. It's every single detail is a stunning achievement. They've got acrobats. First of all, you're talking to a guy who has a fear of heights, so I don't get that anyway. I just don't get a swing going back and forth three stories up. Especially when there's no net. They're going out over the audience. So, and then they have an acrobat. They have a ship. It was made out of, looks like a jungle gym, shaped like a ship, swinging in space, going, I mean, fast. Then they got people diving through the air, some guy dropping out of the sky, another guy flying from off stage, and they're all athletes, too. So if you get to Vegas, get tickets for this. You got to see this. They got two shows, I think, every night. We saw the 10:30, which is the best. So you can have a little dinner, you know, boom, ba-boom. You get out, and you still got the rest of the night. Marie and I got back to the room about 5 a.m., probably about $80 lighter. No big deal. It was great. And then the next day, well, you heard about the entire fiasco over there at Olympic Gardens. What a hoot and a half that was. Yeah, sure, honey. Hey, Maria. Yeah? Want to go back to Olympic Gardens? I don't think... Yeah, it's... Right. These women that... They talked their boyfriend and taking them in. And I saw them all the way around the stage there, girlfriend after girlfriend, with their arms folded. And then the boyfriend, he give the dancer $5 to just put it on his girlfriend a little bit. And she's... Oh! You'd be surprised how many women respond to it in the positive. With a smile on their face and a wink in their eye. Had a blast. But here's the thing I wanted to get to. America West, you were the only part of my weekend that wasn't so hot, especially the toilet that wouldn't flush in first class. And I say first class because the good people that took us to Vegas, the Dr. Laura show, they were very sweet. They flew Marie and I first class. I'm thinking, this is a break. I'm sitting up there. I go to use the toilet, and it's full of toilet paper and crap. And I said to the flight attendant, excuse me, the toilet's, okay, I'll get to it. Well, she got to it after she served a bunch of drinks and went down the aisle with the drink cart, so now I can't use this can, and I can't go to the F can because there's a drink cart, and you know what they always say? Please remain in your seat when the drinks are being served because it's such a hassle. Yeah, okay. I'm sitting there with my legs crossed. I'm beginning to tear up. I reported it. I felt like a little snitch, but when I got off the plane, I went to the customer service at America West. They said, hey, yo, the toilet. And they were stunned. They were shocked. And then they said to me, did you try flushing it? I said, that was it. Thank you. So then I went back on the plane, flushed it. No problem now. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
But years ago, of course, when I was just starting up. Hold on for a minute. Yes, David.
Phil, how you doing?
I'm good.
I listened to your talking about being in Vegas. Very interesting.
Thank you. I'm in the middle of...
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but as you know, we're going to bring Bud in during this segment, and that'll leave you the last half hour of the hour. So,
what do you mean we're bringing Bud in during... Bud Dickman?
Yes. Did Pelton tell you?
Didn't tell me a thing.
Oh, he should have told you. No, Bud's coming on.
I fired Bud Dickman.
You didn't fire anybody. I said he's coming on.
He's a voice I created. Just like you.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. All hail the genius. There, do you feel better? Now, I want Bud on. He's going to do some stand-up and some patter. Because I've got an idea. 5 minutes with Bud Dickman. 5 minutes with Bud Dickman feels like a lifetime. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds about right. What do you mean, 5 minutes with Bud Dickman?
It'll be his observations on the current scene. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, what are you thinking about?
You sound like a chick. What are you thinking about?
What's the pause for?
The pause is this. I don't want him on the show. I got rid of him.
Why?
I told you why, man. I told you the guy's stick, his whole personality, his character is Dullsville.
Oh, and you're Mr. Excitement. Is that it?
Now we're going to get personal.
No, I'm not getting personal. You think you can carry it alone, is that it?
No, I don't think I can carry it alone, as you well know. But I don't want Bud on because he sounds like a cartoon character. His humor is lame.
I'd rather listen to him than listen to you fumfer around with me looking for a reason not to have him on the show. And all of your talk about America West with the toilets not flushing, who cares?
Thank you. Thank you for reinforcing my monologuing on this show.
Nobody gives a crap about your life. Is he there?
How you doing, Bud?
Hi.
Yeah, he's here.
Tell him to come on in.
Can you hear David?
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Hall?
Hey, Bud. All right, 5 minutes with Bud Dickman. Have we got the music?
Yeah, I brought it in. Mr. Henry, play it.
What?
You got to play the music.
No, I don't.
I said to play it.
Bud Dickman! Bud Dickman!
Hold on.
What?
All he's doing is yelling Bud Dickman.
All right, well, pot the music down.
Wait, Bud, until the music's potted down.
Mr. Hall, you tell me!
I understand, Bud. He's a little bitter because he's got to have you back on the show.
And don't talk about me like I'm not here.
Don't talk about him like he's not here, Bud.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
Here it is.
Today's show!
Wait.
Now what?
Don't yell into the mic! Go ahead, Bud, do your shtick.
Hey, everybody, I'm Bud Dickman. It's time for the Bud Dickman Show. This is 5 minutes with Bud Dickman. I'll give you my observations and my observations about life. Now, everybody, Bud Dickman.
Great, go ahead.
Hey, Phil. Phil.
Wait a minute, am I part of this?
Yeah, you're the straight man.
Phil.
Yes, Bud.
Know what Saddam does for fun?
No, I don't.
Sits around and gets bombed. Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
What's the national bird of Iraq?
The national bird of Iraq? I don't know.
Duck. Hey, Phil.
I know you're asking me a question. What is it going to be?
Why does Saddam have a mustache?
I don't know.
He wants to look like his mother.
I love that one. That's great.
Thanks, Mr. Hall. Hey, Phil.
What?
How is Saddam Hussein like Fred Flintstone?
Fred Flintstone?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Both look out the window and see rubble. Okay, Phil.
Yeah?
What do you call a Hussein family member with six goats?
I don't know.
A pimp! It's been Bud Dickman with the Bud Dickman Show.
What, as opposed to Fred Flintstone with the Bud Dickman Show?
Mr. Hall.
Yeah?
He made fun of me.
What are you doing?
What did I do, what?
Well, you made fun of him?
Oh, come on. I said as opposed to...
It's called Bud Dickman with the Bud Dickman Show.
Okay.
Well?
Well, what? I mean, do I have an opinion here?
Yeah, we want to know.
It wasn't funny. It was stale. I heard all these jokes years before during the Gulf War.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it. And I'm getting tired of you being shoved down my throat.
You didn't like that duck?
No, I didn't like duck. You know how old that is? Why does Saddam have a mustache? He wants to look like his mother. That's the freaking oldest stuff. Where did you get this, Bud?
I wrote it.
See, the kid wrote it.
No, you didn't. Tell me the truth. Where did you get it?
No, I did. I wrote it.
He said he wrote it.
Where did you get it, Bud?
Off the internet.
Off the internet.
Really?
Yeah. That's where all this cornball is. The internet. I'm sorry, Bud. I don't have a place for you here on the show. I wish I did, but I just don't.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely sure. I'm sorry, Bud. Goodbye. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, great show as always, Mr. Henry. I wanted to comment for David Hall. Mr. Hall, as a listener of your station, my advice would be to give Bud a permanent spot on this station in place of Henry.
Thank you. That last piece of material was written by Chris Pelton.
Pretty weak.
Yeah.
This has been Weak Material, a production of ABC.
All right, fine. 1-800-449-8686. Get out of here, Bud. I don't want any of your duck jokes or your pimp or none of that no kids on the block baloney. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. You can go over and log on. Say, we got a pretty good Thanksgiving weekend coming up. We have the Bobby Dooley Marathon. That'll be on Thursday and on Friday. I did an interview today with our friends at WOAI in San Antonio, and they asked us, well, what hours are coming up on that show? I can give you a couple of hints. First of all, we're going to have the Bobby Dooley graduation party extravaganza where Steve came out of the hot tub with no pants on. That's fantastic. And, of course, the ever-popular episode where Bobby and Steve were kidnapping kids around the neighborhood to see how alert everybody was. And then we will have a very special repeat of a Thanksgiving show from days gone by when Bobby did not want to eat Thanksgiving dinner at a friend's house because she wasn't sure that they weren't using the turkey baster to conceive a child. That's coming up on Thursday and Friday of this week, the Bobby Dooley Marathon on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The breasts of strippers. The final frontier. These are the voyages of Bill and Eddie. Their ongoing mission: to go into some of the finest strip joints in Vegas and near the airport in L.A. Pay the dancers for lap dances, and then actually have them go home with them or back to their hotel for sex. In other words, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
You're the orchestra.
To boldly go where no man has gone before. Starring Patrick Stewart as the dildo. I'm kidding. To boldly go where no man has gone before. 1-800-4... Huh? No, I've never had sex with a stripper. Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. Thank you very deeply. No, sir, I have not. With a peep show dancer, yes. But not with a stripper. My girlfriend in Minneapolis worked a peep show. Boy, was that some... Those were dark days for me, if you get my meaning. Strippers are good at paying your bills. All right, anyway, so where was I? That whole thing. So the toilet wasn't flushing on the America West flight. Now, let me explain something, if I might. Lately these days, see, here's the thing, and I know you all agree with me. When you go to an airport and you go through the security check, it's a very time consuming and it's a rather tiring process, because if you trigger the alarm, they take you over to the area, they take your shoes off, they wand you, they look through your bag, they make sure that you're not a terrorist ready to blow the plane out of the sky. And I understand all of that. I get it. I get it about what's happening in our world today. It's cool. And many of them, although the guy leaving Vegas on Sunday night was really a cool guy. He was just, okay, sorry to do that. And he had a sense of humor. Oh, all right, take your shoes off there. Take a look at those little feet of yours. Make sure you don't have anything taped there. I mean, the guy was trying to be friendly, and actually, I was crying, so he tried to make me feel better. Oh, come on. You He gave me a lollipop, and but most of them are, all right, move over here, move over here. Achtung, move up, you know. All right, I get it. But I do not expect the airline employee to act the same way. And I realize that it's a stressful job, and I get it that there's so many people flying, and, you know, maybe you ought to do something else for a living. If all you can do is stand there at the gate is, all right, rows 1 and 2, over this way. First class only. Let me repeat, first class only. If you're in boarding groups 1 or 2, first class only. Come on up here. Okay, here I am. No, sir, you are not in groups 1 or 2. You know, I have a first, didn't you just call first class? Let me see. Oh, well, you got to go over to security check anyway. Security check anyway. Go. So, I got on their lousy plane, and I'm flying up there. Now, as I said, the good people flew us first class. And let me just say this. I know that they like to give the big speech about our flight attendants are here primarily for your safety. Oh, I get it. Oh, so which basically what that means is if they act rude as hell giving you a drink, then, you know, it's cool because they're there primarily for your safety. Well, you know what? When you hold a first-class ticket, no, they're not. No, when you got a first-class ticket, you're paying for something a little more than just them doing the safety thing, man. And you ain't paying for that seat. Just that money you're laying out there ain't just for the seat. It's to get a little of that, you know, that ground service going on, man. Hey-hoo! A little of that champagne on the ground, you know? What do you think of that? More mimosa? Yeah, I don't mind if I do. I've never quite felt so gay. Another drink, sir? Yeah, just bring me the vodka. I'll mix myself, okay? Quit fooling around. Next time, put some booze in it, baby, all right? And here's your DVD player. Oh, great, okay. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Got it. And that's what they're there for. That's not just primarily for my safety. I'm paying a lot of money for that seat, even though theoretically I wasn't. Well, not theoretically. In reality, I wasn't. But let's just say that I was. You know, you're giving me something more than a service. So when I go to the first class can, I open the door and I see it's been flushed. And I said, well, you know, I don't know how to, what do you want me to do? I tried flushing it. No, sir, you know what? I'm sorry about that. I'll check it. Okay, great. So I sit down in my seat. She goes back about her business. Goes down, serves the drinks. Everything's beautiful. And I gotta go. I gotta go. I don't know what to do. So I see two or three guys going and using the toilet. And I know it's getting funky, so I can't hold it any longer. I open the door, and I look in, and sure enough, it's like halfway up. You know what a funky toilet looks like. There's nothing worse. And I said to the flight attendant, I said, please. Oh, well, all you have to do, so she fills up a coffee pot full of water, pours it in there, and flushes it, which seemed to do the trick, sort of. Even though there was standing water. Now, you know those airline toilets don't have water standing in them, man. They have a suction. You put your face down there, it'll take it off. And if you're, you know, the least bit endowed as a man, it's... Ah, no! You're sucked all the way down into that thing. So, it still has a little water. I said, you know, it's still got some water. Oh, no, it's fine, sir. It's supposed to. Okay. So, I sat down. That's right. And I did what I had to do. What any man has to do after breakfast. I flush. It ain't going down. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not the kind of guy that leaves an unsanitary toilet behind me. I wasn't born in a sewer. You know, you look at some of these toilets, you walk into a men's room especially, and you wonder where these guys, what planet, what garbage barge they got off of, you know, who their mama was. Because it's just filthy, right? Well, that's not Phil Henry. So I flush it again. And I flush again, and it's kind of moving a little bit, you know, and I'm flushing it again. I wrap a paper towel around my hand, and there's Phil Henry in the first-class cabin of America West having to stick his hand down their toilet. I had it. I said to the flight attendant, I said, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? For the price of these seats, you got to be kidding me. What's wrong, sir? I'll tell you what's wrong. The toilet was backed up here. I asked the flight attendant. She finally got around to it, and then it's still backed up, and I had to stick my hand down in there. And the guy said, oh, don't stick your hand in the toilet, sir. I said, you know what? I don't leave crappy-looking toilets behind me. It's just something my parents taught me. He said, well, I understand. Well, did they come up to me and say, geez, we're really sorry? Did they say anything along the lines of, well, you know, this is a post-9/11 age, see? So they have to, you know... Manners and politeness, that's going out the window, at least on some airlines. Just a little, it doesn't cost you anything, and it won't get the plane hijacked if you walk over and you say, we're really sorry you had to do that. It's not going to get the plane blown up in midair if you say, you know what, we're really sorry, maybe we can do something for you. And I said, no hard feelings, and I shook the guy's hand. And he was happy until I left the plane and the airport, and about, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, he was like, boy, that son of a... 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Extreme Radio.
1-800-449-8686.
I don't know how I got on this. I'm standing here talking to Janice, and all of a sudden we're talking about French Canadians. Oh, we were talking about airlines, and we got around to Air Canada. And I got to say this, and I say this with the greatest of love and respect in my heart for all of the fine men and women of our neighbors to the north. You want to know why we fight against bilingualism in America more than anything else? It's because of the example that we see in Canada. That's the reason why we can't take that bilingual thing is because... Take a look at Canada. Everything, French and English, French and English, French and English. You ain't got a country anymore, man. Quebec doesn't even want to be a part of Canada. What's left? That's why we will fight to the death. You can speak any language you want, but officially the language of the United States is English. And there's nothing conservative about that point of view. There's nothing liberal about that point of view. That's an American perspective. No, 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 no more freaking bilingual, baby. It's going to be English, because we don't want California to turn into the Spanish version of Quebec in the next 50 years, which it is in danger of becoming. The country can fall apart slowly but surely. And speaking of French, if I ever run into that cab driver that I asked a lift to in Paris 3 years ago and it still eats away at me, if I ever run into that guy, when I walked up there, Marie and I had been walking for 3 miles, some old, dirty, cigarette-smoking frog leaning against his cab, and I said, Monsieur, où est le cab, le hotel, up yours? And he says, he's shaking his hand and shaking his head, and he don't want to take no Yanks up to no hotel. If I ever see you again, I will take a baseball bat to your car. And that includes that guy on the motorcycle at 2 o'clock in the morning when we were walking back from the Moulin Rouge, which apparently if you walk across the light in Paris, it's fun for the motorcyclists to try to run you down. And I'm walking across the street and the guy aimed for me. And if only I had a nice 38-ounce Louisville Slugger and just stuck it out right at the right moment, that guy's head would still be stuck to the end of the bat and the bike would still be somewhere in Marseille right now, still going along with a guy with no head. That's what I think of them French. See, Janice, you bring up Canada and you get me in a bad mood. I'm joking. Who won the Grey Cup? The game was on? I'm going to have a Grey Cup party. My father played in the Canadian League, and I actually bid online for a Saskatchewan Rough Rider helmet because I wanted to have something in my house that represented the Canadian Football League, and somebody came in at the last minute and outbid me. Some guy that they know. Some guy who had an inside track there to the Saskatchewan Rough Rider dirt. Rough Rider. That's what they call him, man. But if I ever see that guy again, it's against the law in the city of Paris, according to what I've heard, not to, when somebody needs a ride, not to give them a ride. And this guy is... Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. It's another Yank that wants a ride. Is that it? If I ever see that guy again, man. Got me to thinking about that stuff. Really fouled up my mood, didn't it? All right, 1-800-449-8686. You see the riot at Ohio State? It was marvelous. Police are reviewing video footage to try to identify more people who overturned cars and pelted officers with bottles and rocks after Ohio State's football victory over Michigan. Fans set more than 100 street fires after they were angered by the fact that their team beat Michigan. Ohio State, so used to losing and growing very comfortable with it, actually was pissed off when their team beat Michigan 14-9. Students were heard to say, "Why did you win? You let us down. Why did you win? You let us down." In Columbus, police said the mood was peaceful for several hours after the game, but when word started leaking around that they'd actually gone out and won the football game, kids started going ape. Officers used tear gas and wooden pellets known as knee knockers to disperse a crowd of several hundred people east of campus. One officer was quoted near the scene as saying, "These knee knockers are lots of fun. We knew Ohio State had a chance to win the football game, and so we were out practicing during the week. You ought to see one of these things hit a student running towards you at about 5 miles an hour. It's neat." Said another police officer, "I hit what looked to be a young woman who had a funny-looking hat on and carrying a bag and screaming obscenities at the police officers with a knee knocker right up against her head. Threw her right through a plate glass window, said Officer Jones. The damage amount was not has not been estimated, but they're probably going to make the students pay for it, so that's cool. Rioting took place in Montreal tonight when they found out that the Alouettes beat the Edmonton Eskimos 25-16. It wasn't so much that they beat the Eskimos, it was that their team is called the Alouettes. And so a riot broke out. What? The Alouettes. Our team's called the Alouettes! The people that spoke English, they finally got that one. The Frogs knew it, but the English-speaking guys...
C'est Montreal Alouettes!
An Alouette, what are you talking? Is that the song my mother's?
Alouette, Jante Alouette.
Is that the one?
Oui, oui, monsieur.
What are you, turning me into a fag here? This is football. That's what my mom used to sing, that Alouette, Jante Alouette. An Alouette is a bird. It's a bird. It's not that bad. You name your football team after a bird. It's like calling them the Arizona Cardinals. Well, the Montreal Alouettes. It's a gay bird, but it's the only homosexual bird that they know about. They have it in a zoo over there. The Montreal Alouette. All right. Sex 149 times a year is average, according to a global survey. Britons have sex more often than Americans and Spaniards, but are outdone between the sheets by the French, Dutch, Danes, and Canadians. According to a survey by a condom manufacturer, the Durex Global Sex Survey interviewed some 152 couples, some 3,500 couples, who lied to the survey takers and said they had sex far more than they usually do. The Durex Global Sex Survey said, "We're sorry, we believe these surveys, when in point of fact, we should not believe them. There's no way the French or the Dutch or the Danes can get it up any more than once a month." Some 3,500 people from the UK took part in an online survey organized by Durex. Almost 4 in 10 of UK respondents lied that they'd had unprotected sex with a new partner in the last 12 months, just so they could throw the AIDS problem in a new perspective and make all the health people go ape. The young are putting themselves most at risk of sexual infection, with 46% of them saying, "Sure, we've had unprotected sex," even though they're lying through their teeth, and it just makes all the medical authorities in Britain go nuts. President Bush held his nose and praised Saudi Arabia on Monday as a good partner in the war on terrorism. The president then went into a private bathroom off the anteroom of the Oval Office and puked. According to White House spokesman Ari Fleischer, he believes the Saudi government is a good partner. Yeah, sure he does. The accusations are complicating White House efforts to win Saudi support. The accusations that Saudi Arabia is funding terrorism. "What a curious idea," said the president. "Why, nothing could be further from the truth," he said, as he wandered off down the hall and gagged. In contrast, a parade of senators, including some who doubted the princess meant to help terrorists, upbraided the Saudi government on Sunday's television talk shows for what they saw as years of complicity in anti-American radicalism. Meanwhile, the Saudi embassy continued to lie about how much they think America's just so fantastic, and they love us, and they want our oil money, and they really, really dig it here, especially Disney World. The Saudi prince who made these statements said, "Well, I'm off now down to Knott's Berry Farm with my 9 bodyguards and my 5 spoiled rotten kids and my 6 wives. If you see us taking up an entire floor of a hotel and you have to be glared at by our bodyguards, please don't take it personally. We're Saudi Arabians. We're just basically obnoxious anyway," he said. Well, that's our news encapsulated here for you on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.